2 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to be in verse 6 and 7. Very simple passage this morning. It's Paul writing his second letter to the young pastor by the name of Timothy. Now, Timothy was what you might think of as a spiritual son to Paul. It's likely that it was through Paul's ministry that Timothy's mother and grandmother came to know Christ. And so Paul always had a close connection with Timothy. Now, Timothy's pastoring in a place called Ephesus when he writes these letters. We call him a young pastor because that's exactly what he was. We think, if we had to guess, he was somewhere in his 20s. In the ancient times, that was really young to be pastoring. And this was a church that was filled with folks that were giving Timothy some heartache. He was having a struggle leading. And when we look at this idea of what Paul paints for us this morning, he is encouraging Timothy to lead and be who he needs to be. Listen to this, without fear. Now, there are a lot of things that God does for us, right? I mean, he saves us. He gives us purpose and meaning in our life. He walks beside us. He guides us. But one that many of us struggle with is this idea of fear. And there are a lot of things that cause us fear in our lives. And I'm not just talking about, I'm scared of snakes. That's not the same thing as fear of failure, fear of losing things, fear of making such a grave mistake that I end up having to pay a price that I don't want. There are different kinds of fears. But when we have Christ in our heart, as Paul is reminding us this morning, then we really can live a life fearlessly, without the fear of failure, without the fear of mistakes, without the fear of what ifs. We can live with confidence. And apparently that is what Timothy, in some sense, is struggling with here and why Paul writes this letter to him. Now, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to come back and start reading just two verses this morning, verse 6 and 7. Then I'm going to come back and we're going to talk about three ways that we can apply what Paul teaches us here, how we can live a fearless life. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning for the privilege to gather again, as we've said, in your presence. This is about you and nothing else this morning. It's our time to empty us of us and all of our issues and problems, and yes, even our fears, and to be filled with your presence this morning. An everlasting presence, a life-changing presence, a transforming presence of God. And so, Father, we praise you this morning as we've spent time in worship. And now for just a few minutes, we turn to look into your word, which I believe is the holy, living, breathing word of God. And though this was written some 2,000 years ago, it is still relevant for every single heart and soul that is listening to this today. It's not by accident that we're in this passage. It's not by accident that we're all gathered listening together to this word. You have purpose in that. You've brought us here for a reason. So I pray that you would help us to put aside whatever we may be struggling with this morning, whatever Satan, the enemy, would use to distract us from listening, not just with our minds, but with our hearts this morning, to the message that you have for us, so that we can find victory in this life that you've blessed us with. Now, God, we pray as always for those who may have never accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. My prayer this morning as we talk about fearlessness, that they would understand that comes through what Jesus did on the cross. It begins with a decision to accept that and to surrender to that and ask God for forgiveness of our sins and to be freed from that and now walk anew in the path that you've given us. So I pray for that lost person this morning. I pray for that believer this morning who the enemy has been attacking and they've just been bombarded with all kinds of things that now are creating fear in their lives that serves as a distraction. So my prayer for that believer is they'd be freed of that this morning. They would finally rest in your presence, in your power, and in your strength. Now, God, as always, bless the reading of your word. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to start reading. Now, we're catching this kind of in the very beginning of this letter. And as I've said, Paul writes two letters. They're really fabulous letters filled with all kinds of important information that applies to our lives and walk today. And here Paul begins a discussion talking about loyalty, being loyal to the calling that God had placed in his life. Now, what does that mean? It means this for you. God has purpose and meaning. He's not created you by accident. He's not given you the families that you have. He's not given you the gifts and the talents and even the circumstances, sometimes good things and bad things. Those all have purpose and meaning in what God is creating for you. Timothy needs to know that. So this is where we're starting, and it will continue. We're not going to keep on in this passage. We'll stop at verse 7, but if you want to read something that I think will uplift your life, then keep reading this passage this afternoon or sometime this week. He begins this, and he says this, "For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God." Now, we all have gifts, and they come from God, and it's important marker in life to begin to figure out what those gifts are. Some of our players here have the gift of athletics. I don't have that. Some of us have the gift of patience, and we have the gift of being able to talk with folks and be in front of folks. We have the gift of loving people. We have the gift of showing mercy to folks. I mean, there are all kinds of gifts that God gives us, and part of what we have as a mission in life is to be able to discover what those gifts are. And not just that, but now learn to use those. And use those for what? For his kingdom, for his glory. He goes on and he says this in the last part of verse 6, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Now, Paul's making a reference there of essentially him giving the authority that God had placed to call young pastors to go to churches. It's not unlike what we do today with ordination and now marking a young man out to be a pastor somewhere. So that's all Paul is referencing there. It's verse 7. That's our focal verse. He starts here and he says this, "For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid." Now let me define the word timid, because we don't use that one much these days. It really means this, to lack confidence in something, to be driven not by courage, but to be driven by fear. It's to essentially surrender to the idea that we have no control or have the possibility of power to overcome whatever those obstacles are that are in front of us. So hold on to that. We're going to come back to that, and that will be kind of our defining statement that will help us through the rest of this. Well, to finish up, in the last part of verse 7, he says this, "But gives us power." He's talking about God. God gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Now, there are a lot of things that we could tackle in that. We're not. We're going to choose to come back and look at three ways real quickly of how we can live a fearless life under the power that God has given us. The first one is this, and if you're taking notes, some of our folks do this, and so I would encourage that. Number one is this: you need to know who Jesus is. Now, no doubt Timothy knew that. We know this from some earlier references. It was Timothy's grandmother and his mother that poured into him this truth. And many of us have lived in homes where our moms and grandmothers and maybe our dads and grandfathers, our relatives, have loved us enough to make sure that we understand the truth of who God is and what he wants. And that begins clearly with understanding who Jesus is. To make that very simple, Jesus is the Son of God that died on the cross some 2,000 years ago so that we could be delivered from our sin. What does that mean? To be forgiven of our sin and now be able to walk a free in that and serve him with great success, power, and without fear. That's what God desires. And that's what he essentially has created all of us to experience. And it's a decision that we all have to choose to make at some point. Every one of the believers that are gathered here have made that decision. It's not one that a mom or a grandmother or a dad or a coach or anyone else can make that for you. It's a decision you have to make. And it's one when you begin to realize that God has a bigger purpose for you. And the things that scare you, the things that create fear in you, he is bigger and more powerful than anything that we can face in our life. Doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter how stupid we are and the dumb things that we've done and the problems that we might have created now that has put us in a mess. God is bigger than all of those things. And when he gives Timothy this charge, that is the essential point that he's trying to get Timothy to be reminded of. It's not what you can do. It's not what the world wants you to do. It's not what you think you ought to do. It's what God has for you. And it's finding meaning and purpose in that. And now being able to live a life that is fruitful. Listen to this. Not according to what the world thinks, but according to what God wants. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father, it tells us in Scripture, except through him. If we're going to have a fearless life, if we're going to be able to find success in this life that God has placed us in, then we have to know who Jesus is. And that now Timothy knew that. And some of you know that. And that's not an issue for you. But there are times where we need to be reminded of that. Amen. Sometimes that truth just needs to stick out, and God begins to bring that out and reminds us of who we are and what we are. And even though we've made mistakes, God can forgive us and give us that renewed freshness to walk with the freedom of the forgiveness of our sins. Number two is this. Not only do we need to know who Jesus is if we're going to live a fearless life, number two is this. You need to know who you are. Now, this is a harder one. Because if you struggle with this, the world's going to give you all kinds of answers to this. They're going to help you define who you should be and not who God wants you to be. And you just turn on the TV today. Now, I'm not a doom and gloom guy. I watch TV. I'll admit that. But the world is sending a message to all of us, but especially our young people, guys and girls, that are telling you that this is what you want to be, this is what you want to be like, this is what's important. All of these other things are not important. There's a battle going on in our culture today. It really is. And if we don't begin to wake up to it as adults and begin to understand that we can't check out and allow our young people to walk through that battle on their own, then we're going to lose a whole generation to this cultural war. And it is. And I'm not talking about politics. That's not my intention. I'm talking about the battle between what Satan is trying to do and what God wants. And our world needs to hear that truth. Probably more now than at any other point. And I think what we're finding in many churches in America today is almost a sense of renewal and revival. Why is that? Because we're scared in what we're seeing. And we're learning to go back to the basics and begin to clear all of the clutter, the smoke and mirrors that have come into this world to confuse us and to confuse our kids and to create this idea of fear. And now we're going to walk out of fear and not out of freedom. And that's the difference in understanding who you are. God created you for a purpose. He created me for a purpose. He has meaning and purpose in our life. He has desires for us. He has what I like to call a blueprint for every single one of us. And success in life is defined by whether or not you accomplish what God has called you to do. Because all of us, we know that, one day will stand before God in judgment and have to give an answer for how we've lived our life. And it's not going to be against a standard that the world presents to you. It's going to be against the standard that God had for you. And part of the mission in life, I said this a moment ago, is to discover not just your gifts, but discover what God's purpose is in you. I mean, God has planted all of us for such a time as this. I love that statement in the book of Esther because it reminds us that there's intentionality. God had a purpose in putting all of us on this earth right now at this time. And so the question is why? Well, to serve him. What are we going to do? Well, that's part of the challenge that all of us have to struggle with. I'm in my 50s and I still, every single day, Lord, am I doing what you want me to do? Am I accomplishing that? Lord, as I pray tomorrow morning, as I wake up and begin my day and my week, Lord, what do you have in my path this week? How can I serve you? How can I fulfill the blueprint that you have in my life? And now it becomes bigger than just me. It's about him and how he wants to serve through me. If we're going to live a fearless life, not only do we need to know who Jesus is, not only do we need to know who we are his created children who are created to love him and worship him and serve him. But thirdly is this, we need to know what is in the world. Now, I've already kind of dipped into this one, so this one will be a little bit easier now. But the world is not for our benefit, right? It tells us in scriptures that the devil, Satan, who by the way exists just as surely as I stand here this morning, and God exists, there is a real devil. I believe that. And he is working in this world. This is his dominion. This is his place. And he has corrupted it. And again, it's a challenge for us to be able to find truth in really a world full of lies. So I think what Paul is trying to remind Timothy of is, now remember what I said. Timothy is serving the Lord in a really volatile place with a group of people that weren't willing to follow him. And it would have been easy for him to say, well, it's just too tough. I'm going to walk off. I'm leaving. I'm going somewhere else. But that's not what God wanted for him. God had created Timothy to be where he was, to serve in just the way God had gifted him to. Paul reminds him of that, laying his hands on him, giving him that authority by the power of God. And so he has no choice but to face those fears and begin to be obedient in what God has called him to do and be. Listen, in our world today, it's easy. It's too easy to just throw our hands up and say, well, you know what? I don't care anymore. I'm not going to do these things. They're too hard. Or I don't find any benefit in this versus that. Listen, the benefit and the way that we need to see things is not from what we see in front of us today, folks. It's from what we see when we stand before Jesus at the end of our lives. Have we lived a life that is pleasing to him? Have we worked our way around all of the obstacles that this fallen world brings? It is a fallen world. It's a sinful world. And we're all sinners, no question of that. And it's a struggle, but we can live by the power of God. Isn't that what Paul is saying here? To overcome the fears and the adversities and all of the struggles, we can tap into that power that God has available to us to be able to live a life that is fruitful and purposeful and has meaning. It's an important one. And it's one that when we begin to understand it and realize it, it begins to change our life. God is the one who brings meaning to us. And as I've said, this is kind of simple passage. Our folks will be shocked. We're done. I'm going to pray and lead us through some time of prayer. And then we want to have a special time of prayer for our football team and cheerleaders and all of those coaches. And we'll do that in just a moment. Let me lead us in prayer in our time of commitment. Father, thank you this morning for all of us that have gathered. And as we tapped in a moment ago and said, there may be some who need to make a decision this morning. There may be some who've never accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. And so this idea of standing before God and giving an account of their life, they don't even understand that. And maybe you've brought them here this morning to bring them to this point right now for them to settle that issue. Maybe it's something they've been dealing with, they know about, they've been struggling with. And so you've brought them this morning to this place to be able to deal with that face to face. So I want to lead in a prayer. And that could be somebody here, sitting here, or somebody who's watching on our live stream, or maybe listening to this later in our week during our podcast. So I want to lead in what we sometimes call the prayer of salvation. It's not a magic prayer. They're not exact words. What I would invite someone to do is pray their own words as I lead them in this. Father, I know that I'm a sinner, and I'm in desperate need of your forgiveness. And today, I've realized that Jesus is that way. I know he went to the cross and died for me so that I could be forgiven of my sins. So I ask for that today. I ask that you would forgive me of my sins, that Jesus would come into my heart and be both my Savior and my Lord. Lord, meaning that I'm now going to walk in His presence. I'm going to walk anew and changed and live for Him from this day forward. Now, if you've prayed that prayer and you're here, then in just a few minutes, I'm going to encourage you to come down and share that with me. We're not trying to embarrass anybody. All I want to do is get you connected with somebody who can share with you a little bit more of what that decision means for you. Now, if you're at home watching this or listening to this, then I want you to reach out to somebody who is a believer and tell them that you've made that decision to follow Christ today. If you don't know somebody, then call the church. Reach out to us, and we'll be more than happy to help you. The most important thing right now is that you understand the decision and what's next. Now, for the rest of us as believers, we said in the beginning, maybe God's brought us here for the idea of getting rid of fears that we're facing. Could be a medical issue. Could be a relationship. Could be a job. And that fear now is controlling us. Heavenly Father, we pray, help us as believers to be delivered of those life-altering, distracting fears that we face sometimes in life, and to be able to walk under that freedom that Paul encourages Timothy to have here, free from that fear. Now, Father, I don't know whatever their decisions might need to be made this morning, but we give this time, I think, is the most important time of our service. It's our time to respond to you, and we do that now. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Would you stand now for our time of commitment?